The following is an at-will presentation.
Hey, I want you to listen. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I usually start each one of these episodes with spoken word, right? And I was thinking this morning about having you in. Can you put your phone away for a second? Do you remember I asked you to write an explanation of yourself? When was the last time you, like, looked at that?
Since the last time you asked me to write it.
Okay, so I pulled it up this morning, and I read it, and I was like, the fact that you took a moment out of your life to write this about yourself is like, nobody understands her because her mind is usually taunted by what's in store for the future, and her vision rather disturbed but portrayed as beauty beyond these grounds. Demi is never on time and likes her ego where she can see it. Demi eats, sleeps, and breathes beauty, fashion, organization, dreams, life, and the gratification of knowing what's going to happen next. She is her pronoun because society has chosen to see things and assign labels. In Demi's perfect world, there are no limits. There are no pronouns. Demi is Demi. Gender isn't a meaning in Demi's life, rather a virus that runs through her veins, all synced up to different protocols, atoms, and DNAs. Gender fluid, boy, girl, man, woman, this, that, trans, those are words that never made sense to Demi. Rather, the art that spoke out in her life as she displays femininity for the world to see. Place her in front of a lens and watch her morph into characters. Blasting music and living life on a soundtrack is what keeps Demi sane. She sinks her life to songs, and in that moment, every song has a secret meaning that she can always reminisce on. She gives looks like handshakes and shoots to kill when you push her to the edge. She seeks safety in strangers, sex with strangers, breaks hearts and cries under a piercing moon because she expects more. You can't get under her skin, you can't change her mind, and you cannot lie to a liar. Demi knows the game. She coaches it. When she's silent, she's thinking, analyzing people, and reading all their dirty laundry. When she speaks, it's of jokes and laughter to break the silence, but she knows what she's doing. Not that there's a hidden agenda, but if she sees a spark in someone, she will put everything on the line to let them know their worth. She is change. She is revolution. She is evolution. She is the shift of the future. There is no stopping her, and her motivation seats arrogant bitches on the daily. Put a gun to her head and she'll tell you to pull the fucking trigger. She doesn't live life on the edge. She is the edge. Sexual, addictive, obsessive, confident, bombshell. Flamboyant, driven, Demi is a virus. And once you're attached, there's no guarantees. No antibiotics, no cleanses. You take her by the hand and you run wild with her. She is this generation's curve to society and acceptance, to manufactured gender identification. She is the foundation of the future. Get your life.
My name is Nico Tortorella.
I'm in love with love. Welcome to the Love Bomb. This is a conversation with a girl I love named La Demi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
Nico Tortorella. What's yours?
I don't know.
What's yours today?
La Demi.
La Demi. Do you have a last name?
No, just La Demi.
La Demi. Where did La Demi come from?
I think my heritage is like very exotic, so that's where the law came. And before I transitioned, it was Dimitri, and I took Demi from Dimitri.
How do you label yourself in 2016?
I don't, but society has chosen to label me, so I go along with it because obviously I have to fit in somewhere.
And what have they chosen to label you as?
Transgender.
When did you first realize that transgender was a thing?
It was always in my life. I knew about it, and I never really saw it as a thing. I saw it as a way of life, and I just kind of adapted to that life. And as I got older, I grew into these shoes and realized that it was me. If I had to put a label on myself, that's what I was.
But do you remember the first time that you realized that it was even an option?
Yes. I met a friend along the way.
You met a friend along the way.
Mm-hmm.
and showed you that.
Yeah, she kind of like opened that door for me and kind of like accepted me when I had never felt that acceptance anywhere else in the world.
And what did that feel like?
Life-changing. I wore heels higher than anybody's standards after that.
What were you like as a little kid?
I was really obnoxious, but I was obnoxious because I wanted to be heard. I wanted to be seen. I wanted to be out there. But enclosed at home, there were so many issues and problems. I was obnoxious in the real world because at home I lacked the attention. So my childhood was not everything in a bag of chips. But I think now more so, I look back at it all and I'm happier now, and I'm happy with what I went through because it's made me the person I am now. So strong.
Are you proud of the person that you are today?
Are you kidding? 100%. 100p.
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 What does it mean to you to be transgender in 2016?
It means everything, but mostly because I know that at one point I was in such a dark hole, and to know that there was other people in this world and still are that were in that hole that I was, and I've helped them come out and sprout and blossom and bloom, it's made me so happy. I mean, there's words I can't even put together to explain how I feel. It's just a constant like movement that I just want to keep pushing for other people to find themselves.
Do you feel pressure to be part of the movement because there is a trans movement happening right now? Do you feel pressure to upstand your language on the community?
100%. Every day. Every day, if I say something wrong, it's like, pay attention, because in my mind, every day, it's like, no labels, no this, no that. But to society, I am labeled. I'm transgender. I'm in the LGBT community and all of that stuff. But in my world, in my life, and the way I see things, I look in the mirror and I see Demi. I don't see man, woman, anything. I just see Demi, and this is who I'm supposed to be. But in the real world, since I am under all these labels, I have to stay in that grind mode. And it's, I don't even know how to like say it.
I think you're doing a really good job.
Thanks.
How old are you?
21.
If you had to put a number on where you are in your transition, 10 being fully transitioned, 1 being where you started, where would you be?
10. I'm pretty confident and happy right now. I mean, everybody, we're our worst self-critics. Everyone out there, you, me, we always push ourselves to harder, harder, harder. But I think I've grown into the shoes of being okay with who I am, how I look, my personality, where I'm supposed to be in life. Of course, I'm always going to be hard on myself. Everyone's always going to be hard on themselves. But right now, I wouldn't want to really change anything. I'm happy.
Are you in love with anybody right now?
I'm in love with everything. I'm in love with people, the world. I'm in love with everything.
Do you remember the first person that you were in love with?
I do.
When? How old were you?
I was 15, and it was such a crazy feeling that I had never felt emotionally, physically, everything. Like, I remember laying in bed and my heart was burning and I was in tears. I could barely breathe. And then that's when it hit me, like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like, love isn't always good. It's like, it's bad. It's good. It's like, has all these different weird feelings. And it was crazy.
How long did it last?
Maybe 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah.
Were you in a relationship with this person?
Kind of, sort of. It was like a really weird thing. He started off as my best friend. And growing up with him, I just grew to love him because being with him felt like I was with this army of people. And he didn't care if I was weird, if I danced around, if I sang to Britney Spears. Just with him, everything felt unstoppable. So without him, I was not myself. And seeing him with other girls made me so angry because I was like, you have someone that would give you the world. Like, I would do anything for you. And I'm standing right here in front of you. Like, why can't you see me? And then I even went through this whole phase where I was like, I wish I was a girl so he could just see me.
Because you weren't a girl at that point.
Not then, no.
And he identified as a straight man.
Exactly.
And still does to this day?
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you saw him?
Maybe last year.
At home?
Mm-hmm. In Texas.
In Texas. You're from Texas.
I'm from Texas.
Was there anybody in your neighborhood growing up that was in the queer community that you look up to?
Nobody.
Nobody at all?
No. I think growing up, I really separated myself from the queer community because I had so many people that initially met me and threw me in that category and I feared it. And even being raised by my stepdad, it was a constant bully of always being called a fag, a faggot, a this, a that. And I just wanted nothing to do with anyone that could possibly I could be seen with and be affiliated with that. And I had a girlfriend as a shield for 4 years.
You had a girlfriend as a shield for 4 years?
Well, I fell in love with her, of course, but like it was kind of my shield because in high school people would be like, Demi's not gay. She has the hottest girlfriend in the whole school, like blah, blah, blah. Like everyone kind of really wanted my girlfriend. And she was so hot, like wore high heels to high school, like did her hair, her makeup. And I was attracted to so much glam that I was like, yes, bitch.
What were you wearing to high school?
Oh, my God. I was so flamboyant. I started a trend in high school where everybody started tucking their skinny jeans instead of their cowboy boots. And then cutting the T-shirts off to hang off the shoulders and wearing like a cute different – every day was like a different vest over the cutoff shoulder. Mm. And like a bunch of like tassel necklaces with feathers on them.
Oh, you had a million bracelets on.
I was gay as hell.
Did you have ankle bracelets on?
Yes.
Did you have toe rings on?
A toe ring.
Shut up, bitch.
I had a toe ring. And I – because I didn't wear makeup and I couldn't wear makeup, bitch, my hairstyles – were through the roof.
Oh, I mean, I've seen them. I know.
I was wanding my hair. I was curling my hair. I was straightening my hair because I had to make up for so much that I wanted.
And what is it that you want?
What is it that you... as me, as myself.
And how were you going to get that at that age?
Expressing my creativity through my looks and outfits. That was like my way of saying, this is the person that I am.
Right.
I'm flamboyant. And the only way in Texas I could express myself was through fashion.
Yeah. So you put so much into the way that you look in, like, the most incredible way. I mean, if you guys can't see what she looks like right now in front of me, but she is, like, slaying so fucking hard. You're staying with me right now. You, like, had your full-on glam session this morning. You're in, like, a fucking, you know... I mean, your hair is long as fuck. You got lashes on. Your face is done. This outfit is like
killing
I've never.
It.
I mean, on our way in here, everybody is staring at us. Like, you attract so much attention to you because of the way that you look. Do you feel like the way that you look perfectly represents the way that you feel on the inside?
You said perfectly. So I guess in the world, someone would look at me and be like, "Oh my God, she's too perfect," or like perfect. But in the inside, it's just me expressing. Like, I don't think, like I said, I wouldn't change anything. I love being this ball of energy, and I love that when people meet me, they're like, wait, she's not a bitch, or she's not stuck up. She's such a down-to-earth person. Life is too short to blend in, Nico. You know this.
Oh, I 100% know.
I don't want to walk on the street and be in a suit, be in some pencil skirt with a white blouse and basic Prada black pumps. I want to, like, really rebel and break boundaries. I want to be remembered as Demi, you know? She was so striking. Like, I wish you would have known her.
What does it mean to break boundaries?
Break the rules. There are no rules. There are no limits in my life. Who says that I can't wear a red lip during the day with a smoky eye and go walk down the street in the highest heels? Like, I think people should do that. And I feel like so many people would do that if they just saw, I don't know, more people like me walking around.
100%. So as a 21-year-old in the world right now, I think that you had a very different accessibility to the world at a younger age than I did. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're almost a full generation younger than me. And you had the internet in middle school and in high school, correct?
Yeah.
And
shout out MySpace.
Shout out MySpace. But you got online immediately, right? And did you find a group of people as fast as you could?
No, I didn't. I found my group of people when I moved to LA.
But
online.
And how old were you when you moved to LA?
I had just turned 17. So I was like 16 going on 17.
So you basically just graduated high school.
Yeah, I graduated high school a year early because I knew I had this life ahead of me that I wanted to get a head start on.
Right.
So I took so many night classes. I was 15 working as a receptionist at a nail salon. I was working so hard because my mom was like, you need to do the whole 4 years. Like, if you want to be extra, you're going to pay for that. So I went ahead and I was extra and I skipped the whole grade level. I went from being a freshman to a junior and then graduated at 16 and then – no, like 15, 16. And then for that year, I got a full-ride scholarship to the same school as that boy was at. And I kind of followed him and went there with him. And when I realized that he had a girlfriend and, like, I was still like invisible.
Right.
So I said, what am I doing here? And I booked it.
You left.
Mm-hmm.
And you started a TV show on YouTube.
Yeah.
Right? Which was called?
The Come Up LA.
The Come Up LA. And it was about you.
And a group of friends from Texas, all out in LA, teenagers, young as hell, trying to be themselves, fit in, find themselves, journey, struggles, money.
Do these episodes still exist online?
They do.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, we have spent nights in bed watching these episodes, just dying laughing.
Looking so different, guys. Guys, if you see the video and see what I look like now.
Completely different
completely
person.
Completely different person.
Yeah. Well, even the first night we met, I mean, how old were you when we met for the first time?
I was 17.
Yeah. I mean, it was like.
Should we talk and tell the story?
Yeah, let's go. So it was like right when you first moved to LA for the most part, mm-hmm. right?
I was still filming the show.
Okay.
I was at like my peak of like the show. And I was in the club, and I was with my girlfriend, and we're at this table, and we're sitting with, like, you know, I was just lucky enough to be affiliated with these people, but they, like, run the club. They own the club. They are the clique to be with in the club.
Like the socialites of
yeah,
Los Angeles.
Yeah, the socialites. And I'm sitting there, and I have one side of my head shaved. I have one side full of extensions and super curled, kinky, like, huge, teased up blonde hair. And, like, the biggest baddie lashes. I'm wearing, like, an ice cream cone dress and a big, chunky, hot pink, like, necklace.
but it was still, like, super androgynous. Like,
yeah, very
it was
androgynous.
Like,
is that a girl?
Is it a boy or is it a girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember you looked fucking stunning. Like, I was like, oh. I walked in with Bethany. I walked into
best
the club.
Part, you walked.
Yeah.
Nico comes up to the table. And in LA, guys, if you know about LA, it's just like there's always someone beautiful. There's always some hot guy, a model, someone coming up. And it's just like, okay, fuck. Like, what am I doing wrong? Like, that's who I need. So here comes Nico Tortellini, mozzarella sticks, paparelli. And he comes up and everyone's like, Nico, Nico. And like, praise the God. Like, if the DJ could have fucking stopped the track, did the whole... whole club would have looked over and looked at Nico. So I look over and I roll my eyes like, this bitch, please,
please, please,
please. So then I was like, whatever. So I continue with my life, partying, raging, having fun. But it turns out there's an after party. And at the after party, I had no idea I was going to the same place that Nico was. And of course, being honest, I was drunk.
I was fucked up, too. I mean, this is like pretty sober, Nico.
Yeah.
I was like doing a bunch of coke, for sure. And it was at somebody's apartment. And I remember sitting next to you. And, I mean, just gagging over you, like.
I remember, guys, I blacked out that night, so I don't remember much. But I remember from my senses coming to this house, walking in, being so like, oh, fuck, I need to sit down. Like, I'm drunk. I'm spinning. And then all of a sudden, this guy plumps on the couch next to me, and it's the same bitch from the club. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I was like, okay, Demi, you're drunk. Make a move. So, like, I scoot over, and then he kind of has, like, his legs open. He's, like, sitting really cool, like, macho man, like, sitting there. And I easily just throw my legs in between his legs.
Yeah.
Like, no biggie.
Totally.
Like, so confident.
Just get comfortable, yeah.
Yeah. And I put my head on him, and he starts running his fingers through my hair, and he's like, what's your name? And I'm like, Demi. Mind you, at the time, I had a friend that was having a hard time saying my new name.
Yeah. Well, it was also just as your pronoun was changing, too.
Yeah, everything was changing.
Because the two friends that you were with were still calling you he.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was like, I like took offense to it.
You were
like,
confused.
I was like, why? And I also was like, stop. Stop calling him he. Like, he's asking, she's asking to be called her. Like, she,
yeah.
This is obviously a girl. Like, call her. And
I love you.
And they were still like, your friends that were filming this episode with you, so they, like, were seeing the transition happening, like, real
yeah.
time from knowing you from before. And to me, it wasn't even a question. Like, I looked at you and I saw a woman. It mm-hmm. never once did I, like, have to think about it. So I was so confused by anybody saying anything other, right? And I remember looking at you specifically and saying, we're going to be best friends for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
100%. I said that. It's like not even a question.
Don't mean to cut you off. I remember the next day, my best friend waking up saying, there was this guy. He was so crazy about you. He loved you. He said, you guys are best friends. And he tried everything to get your phone unlocked, to get past your password, to put his number into your phone.
Yeah.
But you couldn't get past the lock.
Yeah, yeah. We couldn't get past
Nobody
it.
Nobody did. And then I was too incoherent to even know what was going on.
And this is also like before I was even on Instagram, I feel like. This
exactly.
is like before everything. Like it was like really two people that met out.
Yeah. That were fascinated with each other. Because I was like, I hated you, but I loved you so much.
So
I was
fascinating.
Like,
I remember I woke up the next day so fucking bummed that I didn't get your phone number or that we weren't going to connect. And
you were on Instagram. I do remember finding you.
I was on Instagram.
I found you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And I said, this was the guy. And like, that was it. But like,
yeah.
There was no really DM.
No, it was
time.
Like pre-Instagram.
Like, yeah,
Instagram.
It was, like, you don't really do that. So you just kind of see them and keep going.
Totally. Totally. And then we didn't
later.
See each other for years.
Mm-mm.
Like, we didn't talk. I remember at the end of the night, I like knew how fucked up you were, right? I knew how fucked up I was. And I like saw you get into the driver's side of a car and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, this bitch is driving.
She's done.
Right now.
She's done.
Like, RIP, bye, girl.
So bad.
So, whatever. Those days are over.
They
Nobody
are.
Ever drink and drive, ever.
Ever.
Especially if you're living in Los Angeles.
Ever. Unless
Uber,
you're having a good time.
Uber is real. No, don't say
I'm
just that. Don't say that. Uber is real. Fucking call somebody. No, but I didn't talk to you for a couple years, but I followed you on Instagram, right? And I saw the transition in you happening too, like on the end of a phone. Like, I saw you becoming more of the person that you are now on like a monthly basis, you know? It was beautiful to watch. And I was commenting on some of your pictures, right? I would be like, Bella. Is
yes,
what I would
out
say.
Of nowhere. Uh-huh. He would say one word with a fucking
period.
And I would get so pissed. I would be like, I remember getting kind of excited, be like, oh my God, this is the guy from a long time ago, like, yada, yada. And then I would go to the picture and say, magnifique, period. And I was like, okay. And then a month later, Bella, period.
And sly like, as fuck.
And then maybe another couple months later, another little fucking word. And then I started getting like antsy back. I would go to your picture, comment one word.
Yeah, totally. And I saw it. Like I recognized
like pretty, period. Cute, period.
All right, so cut forward. I book a job called Mama Dallas, and it was an HBO pilot about transgender woman. That lived in Dallas, a drag queen as well, and her life. And I got cast as the boyfriend to this character. It was like a huge, it was fucking HBO. It was like the biggest moment in my career. It was fucking epic. And in filming the pilot, I immediately thought of you. And I reached out to you and I was like, hey.
Because he was getting in character.
Well, yes. But also like I wanted to know more about the tea. Right. I wanted to know more about it. And also it was like a perfect time for me to get back in touch with you. So I wound up texting you and we were shooting in Texas, in Dallas, Texas. And coincidentally, that exact same week that we're shooting, you are in Dallas, Texas for BeautyCon Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was your first BeautyCon, wasn't it?
It was not my first. It was my first time traveling with BeautyCon.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I reached out on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. DM.
And yeah, DM. I DM that shit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I actually found the DMs the other day.
Yeah.
maybe I'll use that as the picture for this episode. Is
so
our like
fun.
Original DM? Whatever. So we wound up meeting in Texas and I came and picked you up at your airport and or at your hotel. And this was kind of the first time like that we really saw it, that we really met sober, A, and B, like fell in love like really, really fast. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so here I am waiting for this guy forever. First of all, the weather is horrible when I arrive, but that didn't stop the glam. Full wearing my blonde wig, thigh-high
you
boots.
Are this was like the beginning of La Demi, I feel
yeah.
like. Like the real La Demi, like
when
blonde head to toe.
Shoes.
This is
yeah.
when she, yeah, this is when she like became a woman. Yeah.
Yeah, so Nico pulls up and he texts me, he's like, I'm here. This bitch pulls from the front door all the way down towards the end of the cul-de-sac. And I'm like, okay, I'm like, walk out in the front. And mind you, the end of the cul-de-sac has no, like, what is
it's
this?
It's pouring rain.
Yeah, it has
no
canopy
yeah,
or, like,
no
anything.
Top, yeah.
So he's like, I'm at the far end on the right. It's a white rental car. And look, it's pouring rain. If you would have seen the rain.
And if you would have seen this outfit that she came out
and
in.
The outfit
she
I'm
was
wearing.
Fucking, she had ripped shorts on, like ass hanging out, thigh high fucking boots, like a ripped up Harley t-shirt, fucking jewelry for the gods, and this blonde peruca that was just fucking huge.
A peruca is a wig.
Peruca is a wig. And yeah.
So
I
here
mean,
I come running to the car. He doesn't even get out anything, just leans over and pushes my door
I
open.
I open the door open.
I,
yeah.
First thing I tell him, and I still make fun of him to this day, I tell him, if you ever make me run in the rain again, we can't do this. We're not friends. And he was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I didn't think about it.
I'm so sorry. But I was like nervous. You
know? Were so nervous.
I was totally nervous because we had this like online relationship
exactly.
for a little bit, you know? And it was finally a chance for us to hang out. And you were also, what, 19 years old at the time? 20 years
18.
Old? 18. No, 20.
18, 19.
Mm-hmm. So I was what, 26, 27? So I, you know, that's like a
lot.
He
was so nervous. He was swerving.
Yeah.
You were driving horrible. You kept reiterating that you're like, I'm a good driver. I swear. I normally don't drive like this. And I said, well, can you get on your side? Because you're really leaning far over.
I just wanted to be close to you.
Oh.
No, but seriously. And Gigi was in town. Gigi Gorgeous was in town, too, for BeautyCon.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wound up hanging out all day, right? It was.
Told him all about the tea.
It was really special. Like,
everything.
We went shopping. Mm-hmm. We just, like, had a nice, special day. And whatever. Then we went to the rodeo the next night with Gigi. And, I mean, the two of
you. Can I just say?
Yes, please.
18, 19, whatever it was, that first time we had, I think that was the first connection. I remember being scared, too, because that was the first time I, like, I was like, oh, my God, this guy's so cool and amazing and just sees me as me. It was my first time getting all these emotions back since my horrible falling in love thing in Texas.
Okay.
So, like, that first date was so epic. And I told Gigi all about it. She's like, wow, he knows. He knows everything. But I was like, yeah, he's just, like, so much fun and, like, so sweet.
Mm.
And it was just, like, crazy. Like, a whirlwind of emotions and friendship and, like, so excited for the future. So the following day going to the rodeo again with you guys was, like, epic.
I mean, the rodeo was, like, I mean, we could tell a fucking entire five-hour podcast on the experience
of
the rodeo.
That was our first kiss.
Yeah, well, yeah, we kissed at, no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bull knocked the guy off. Everyone jumped up screaming, me and you were too glam to stand up. We sat there and looked over at each other. And, like, your two friends that were sitting in between us were jumping up, dancing and, like, going crazy. And Gigi was up. And I just, like, leaned over, grabbed you, and we kissed.
Yeah. And I was driving home from the rodeo. And you were in the front seat. And I remember holding your hand driving home. And, like, electric. Oh, so fucking electric.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a spark between you and me. That anybody that has ever seen us together
it's kind of unexplainable.
Can witness. It's so fire.
Yeah.
And it always will be for the rest of our lives. I mean, we could talk about us for days.
Exactly. Anyways, fast forward, first kiss. By then, head over heels. Lodemi is so young, whatever. But I'm like, oh, this guy's up to something. Get to the hotel, drops off, and then I don't see him for, like, ever.
Well, because you guys wanted to, like, go out and rage and do the whole thing.
Exactly.
And I was sober at this point.
But I thought that I would never see you again. Literally never thought I would see you again after that. Like, that, I thought that was it.
Yeah.
So when I flew back to L.A. and you became kind of, like, in your own shoes and back working and I was back in my zone, I was like, I kind of texted you like a dismissal. Like, it was nice meeting you, getting to know you. I had so much fun. Like, take care.
Yeah, but we kind of, like, lost touch for a little bit again. Yeah. And then when was the next time we linked up?
When you moved back to L.A.
Yeah, well, because I was just shooting the pilot in Dallas, and then I came back to L.A., and do you remember the first time that we...
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
I came and picked you up.
What was it?
It was the summer of... Not last... Was it last year?
It was... I think it was...
Or 2 years ago.
It was
ago.
A year and a half ago.
A year and a half ago.
And
summertime.
You came and picked me up from my Cosmo apartment?
Mm-hmm.
I had a loft in Hollywood, which is really where... Your and I's most special time together was for sure.
Where we grew.
I had this loft in Hollywood that I was only in for 6 months. And my entire time in that loft was spent with you.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody else really that ever came into that loft.
No, you told me like nobody has spent the night.
Yeah, no that
and
was.
In my head, I was like, please. What the fuck are you going to tell me no one has come over and spent the night? And in my head, I always thought you were a player. Like I always was like, this guy has a whirlwind of a revolving door of all these people coming through. Like, Demi, be careful, girl.
Do you remember you came into my apartment and the first thing that you said?
I said, you are a tranny. I said, Nico, pardon me, that's a horrible word to use, but like that's what I called him. I said, Nico, you're worse than me.
Well, you started calling me La Nica.
La Nica after that. Uh-huh. After, in my head, I was like, maybe he is going to transition too. So, guys, if you would have seen his museum he had, Oh, my God. Trinkets on trinkets, rinky dinkies hanging from the ceiling, dingleberries. Just like it was a museum. He had, I talked about it last night, a shrine of a wall of all these old people and like gaudy picture frames. And I was like, Nico, like, is this your grandma and grandpa and blah, blah, blah? Like, I'm so into it. And he's like, no, I don't know who any of those people are. And I said, are you fucking kidding me? This guy's a freak.
I remember the first night we went out and the first night that you were going to sleep over at my apartment. And
so nervous.
Yeah,
you were.
I was so nervous. I was so nervous. A, I want to make it very clear that you were the first transgender anything that I had ever really spent time with. A, and B, the first person that I like wanted to be with. Like I could see myself with you, mm-hmm. like in a heartbeat. And I knew that like you were in the space, right? You were in my apartment and things could have escalated. And I remember I was like, I was so nervous. I was like, we're not going to have sex tonight, right?
And yet, I'm not even thinking about that. I'm sitting there. I'm drunk. We had went out, had so much fun. And yeah. I'm sitting at the counter dangling my feet. At this point, I think I was even like one of your T-shirts. Mm-hmm. Like I had already changed, taken off my thigh-high
yeah.
boots.
Because
like,
uh-huh. we had hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'd hung out. Chilling. We spent time.
And Nico, looking so nervous, standing across. I can see, still see you to this yeah. day, standing across the balcony, just looking back at me. He goes, can I just say something? I'm like, what? He's like, we're not sleeping together tonight. And, like, we're not having sex.
Yeah.
And I was like, I felt, I like, kind of cringed on the other side. I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not even thinking about that.
Okay, well, on the topic of sex, I mean, we didn't have sex that night, but you and I have slept together.
Mm-hmm. And it was amazing.
It was amazing. We have incredible fucking sex.
Crazy.
Crazy. Like, it's so connected. We have...
I don't think I've ever had sex with anyone like that again.
It's such a physical connection. And I think I got, like, scared of it a little bit.
I got scared, too.
I want to say something. Having sex with you, and I've had sex with a lot of, you know, men and women. But having sex with you felt more like what having sex with a woman is supposed to feel like, in like a broad sense, than a lot of the women that I've ever slept with. Like, what does the transference of gender power in terms of sex and being a male to female transgender, what does sex mean for you?
I think it's changed over the time. I think before I thought of it as like a joke and like, love is not real, this is not real, and all of that stuff. And basically, like, oh, men are just going to see me as a sex symbol because unfortunately, most transgender women in the world are prostitutes and in poverty, sadly, because we don't have the same rights, you know? Unless you're passable, yeah, you're fine. You're good to go in the world and you're accepted by society. But if you're not, it's horrible.
I mean, especially speaking of trans women of color, I mean, that's.
Yeah,
like
it's even worse.
A huge
and it's
issue.
So sad. And, me, in the sexual world, I kind of formed into, like, feeling myself and being confident. Once I felt my confidence, then that really came out when I had sex. And, like, when I have sex, I want to be, like, the most promiscuous and, like, let my guards down and, like, all of that, which I do. And which is why I've had a lot of hard experience with relationships and stuff, because it's like, while I'm doing that, yeah, I might be just doing it to have sex, but on the other side, my companion is like, I'm upset, I'm in love with you. And I'm like, I don't feel like that yet.
Mm.
But it's because the way I have sex, I guess.
I think that's part of it, but I think that your ability to love and like be sincere
is tremendous.
Is my favorite thing about you.
Thank you. We don't need the sex element ever. Right. Like, we are having sex just by being in the same, breathing the same air and having fun and living life. Like, that's sex to us, you know? Like, it's, and that's crazy with you because, like, I've always kind of told myself, too, like, although I'm a very sexual person, I can do without the sex. Like, I have fun just cuddling and watching a movie or something. And we transitioned from having sex to doing that.
Right.
You know? And after that, it was, like, amazing.
Yeah. Well, how do you think that happened? I mean, because, okay, so timeline-wise, you were sleeping in bed next to me a handful of times and we weren't hooking up at all. And one night it just, bam, it just fucking happened.
Came
and it was
and
game on. And it was so magical.
It was.
Like, I'm getting worked up even just thinking about it right now. But we were sleeping together for like a couple months, I feel like, you know?
But you were scared because didn't know how many people I was sleeping with.
I did.
So after the first hookup, this bitch takes me to a medical clinic. And in my head,
as a good partner. But also, I was also like, you know, I'm 8 years older than you, so I also kind of felt like it was a little bit of my duty to be like, hey, if you know,
are you clean? What's going on?
Well, yeah, and like this is the place in LA, the spot on fucking La Cienega is San Vicente and Santa Monica is the place that people in our community can go and get tested, and I wanted to like show that place to you.
And I was offended at the time.
Yeah,
I
well, totally.
Like, I hardly sleep around.
But the two of us walked in together. I mean, like, yes. We went to the spot together and got tested.
I will never forget how upset I got at the end of that. Here I am, 19, whatever, like, going to go get tested, whatever, with Nico. And then the doctor, asks us, like, are y'all monogamous? And I go, what does that mean? And Nico's like, well, you know, like, is it just me and you? And I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I've only had sex with you, like, the past month or whatever. And then Nico's like, well, no. Like, you said no. And I said,
bitch.
What? Bitch. What? And I like stormed. So the rest of the day, my whole emotion was like mad and angry. And then Nico got to experience my upset and moody and horrible side. And I think after that, we took like a long break.
Well, I think that there was something that happened that shifted our relationship a lot.
My father passing.
Yeah. And... Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll never forget this morning for the rest of my life. We were laying in bed next to each other, and it's when you got a phone call.
Mm-hmm. And I think in a way, after all of that, I felt like you were the closest person I was to at the time. You were my best friend. You understood me. I had no secrets with you. You knew everything about me, and you were like who I trusted at the time. So in your world, you figured to give me space, you know, to mourn and do all of that. But in my world, I really needed you.
I know. And I'm so sorry I wasn't there for you in the way that you need me to be.
But, I mean, you, like, I remember I left. I tried going to work that day, ended up leaving. And then you were just so there for me that I remember crying in your lap and you just, like, telling me how everything's going to be okay. I was able to cope with everything at the time so much easier because of you. And for that, I could never get that back. And, like, I can never have that moment with someone. That's why I'm, like, going to love you for infinity and forever, because you really helped me through that. And it made me stronger. So I think you being such a part of such a big crisis in my life and letting me just, like, let it all out. And you would tell me, you, like, cry. Like, Demi, let it out. Like,
you have to.
And I would, and I'm such a powerful person. I don't like showing my emotions sometimes. And I let it out. And that's something I would not have been able to do. Like, I didn't even want to be with family. Like, I didn't even want to do anything. It was just, like, so starstruck. But you made me still feel, like, the need to live life and be happy. So that was amazing. And I left, and I went to the funeral, and I didn't talk to you for a while afterwards.
Can we talk about what you wore to the funeral?
Yes.
Because I remember I was texting you the whole time that you were gone.
Yeah.
And your family hadn't seen this La Demi yet.
And I remember telling you, I said that I'm going to go home and bury my dad, and I'm going as me, like Demi. And I hadn't been home in a while for them to see, like, Demi and makeup and hair and dresses and heels and everything. So when I went back home, I totally did, and you were like, you need to, like, for your dad.
Yeah.
And I did.
I
wore like a full-on black gown to his funeral with a huge black floppy hat and a red lip. It was intense.
And you got your dad to see you.
Mm-hmm. And after that, my life changed. Literally changed, because the acceptance and everything and all of that, I came back a totally different person. And after his passing, I grew into these shoes that I'm sitting in here right now in. I don't know if you can tell, but my confidence changed.
Everything
about me changed after that. And
everything.
It's because I realized how short life is.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is crazy. You don't know what's going to happen. My dad wasn't sick. It was a freak accident.
It happened.
And I had lived so long in anger and hate for him and, like, not wanting to talk to him. It really shifted everything about me. So, like, now whenever I'm in a relationship or love or something, I really act better with not holding a grudge on someone and being able to forgive and let in and welcome. And that's why now I find so much love in strangers, because I'm so interested to want to know everyone's story, because I think everyone should take the time, you know? You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, I need you to know that from meeting you the first time to all the time that we have spent together, that you have changed my life so dramatically. And you have shown me a light that I didn't know existed in the world, and a fire and a passion and a self-appreciation and a self-respect.
It's amazing.
And a self-love, like to do what you are doing, even on the most basic level, is astounding. And to do it at the level that you are doing it at, and the commitment that you have, and the fucking fierceness that you have, I've said it a million times, that you are a star. I mean, you were born a star. You
being your friend and watching you, I've seen you change. I've started with you being, you know, so nervous, and like, we would talk about the gay community and things, and I would ask you questions about yourself, like, so Nico, like, what are you? Where are you swinging? And you, at the time when I met you, you were very, like, not closed off, but you had a hard time talking about it. And now, being your friend through everything, I've seen how you've become so confident in your shoes, and how the world, you've taken love to a whole other dimension. The love bomb, like,
yeah, I mean,
everything.
Here we
like
are having this conversation.
Yeah, I've seen you grow, and like now, like, if someone was to throw you in an interview, you're able to just like express and like know your grounds and where you stand and who you are. And I think that's amazing, because before you didn't when I first met you. You really didn't.
No, I mean, I think that when we first met, like I was still struggling with where I fit into the community, you know?
And I think I helped you bloom.
And 100,000%, this show would not exist without you.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously, it wouldn't. Oh. Like my appreciation for the world does not exist without you. You are such an important chapter of the story.
We've grown together, obviously.
Totally. And
it's amazing.
I really believe that we are going to for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. Like that first thing that I said to you, we're going to be best friends forever. I knew it. For me, when did you get comfortable with the fact that you and I are not going to be in a romantic relationship for the rest of our lives and like be best friends? Like when was that switch for you? And how did you do it?
I don't know. I felt like at first I did feel like I was in a relationship with you.
I mean,
I'm sure you felt the same.
Yeah, 100%.
Because everything was a little too perfect, and it was a little too scary how much feelings I was gaining for you. The second I kind of knew and I put up my first guard was when after the clinic.
Yeah.
And me and you were sitting eating some funky donkey chicken, something. And you told me, you said, Demi, you understand I'm going to be with Bethany forever. And I looked at you and I was like, I kind of like swallowed my tits. I was like, oh my God, okay. You're like, that's my best everything. Like my best friend, that's my whatever. What you like gave me the list. And I was just like, okay. And I took that in. I took that into like my ground in my world. And I was like, okay, I understand. I get it. Because I have people like that in my life. Like totally. They're not going to go anywhere.
This was also the same time. I mean, I went to Texas and I was hanging out with Havala and Paige, remember? Mm-hmm. That whole thing was happening too.
And then after that, I just realized that you went through the phase of being, what was it? Polyamorous.
Yeah.
You went through that phase.
Yeah, I had it. And you've seen me date like a handful of people.
I've seen you while still talking and loving me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through a phase, too. I was like, well, maybe I'm that, too, because I love Nico so much, but I'm not getting offended by him expressing his love and sharing it with everyone. And it was so new for me, and I think most girls in relationships would not be okay with that at all.
No, of course not.
And I didn't look at it as like, oh, I'm sharing Nico with everyone. I looked at it as like other people in the world are either being helped or getting the same love that I'm getting as well. And I loved it. And I kind of loved not being this label with you. It was amazing for me. It was new.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we said it was.
It's
people
new.
People asked us, it's new.
It's new.
It's new as we dazzled away skipping.
I mean, I think for the most part, people are like annoyed when you and I are together. Because like, we really don't care about anybody else that's around.
I hate it. They hate us.
No, I mean, I could literally just sit and talk to you for the rest of my life. You know, like no problem.
But yeah, that's basically when I fell into the shoes. I was like, me and Nico won't ever have a label. It's just going to be me and Nico.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely had a fight at one point.
Yes.
There was a giant misunderstanding and a miscommunication, and I take full blame and responsibility for it.
It was horrible.
You want to give a little backstory?
Well, I don't know if my story is the same story as like what you were going through, but my story was horrible. And I never wanted to talk to you again.
No, and you told me that. I mean, you sent me a text message that was like, I never want to talk to you again. Mm-hmm. And also, I hope I never meet another person like you ever mm-hmm. again. Like,
I hated you.
Like, those were fighting words.
After that, I've never done so many drugs in my life that night.
Really?
Never in my whole entire, like, I've never experimented and never partied as crazy. I literally felt like I lost it.
Long story short, she was planning on coming to New York for a premiere for the second season of Younger.
For three months,
I know. And my mom and brother wound up coming too, and we were all supposed to stay in the same house. And
I had a dress made for me.
And press week is always like really crazy, and I kind of lost track of things. And I did a bad job of communicating to you. And, you know, I have this TV show. I have a TV show, but I also have this podcast. And I am talking about communicating with loved ones on a regular basis and what that means and how to take care of the people around you. And I will be the first one to admit that I don't always do it right. I do not always have the answers. Life is moving at a pace that I am trying to keep up with, and I'm...
People have to keep up with you.
Yeah, I hurt people. I have hurt a lot of people.
But it's normal. Everybody does that.
I know.
And I realized that afterwards. After I saw your sincerity, I was like, he is so busy. The communication was that – I think that was the last time we ever had such horrible communication.
Ever. And I really think it's the last time we ever will.
Yeah.
I think that we can spend months plus years not saying a single word to each other and picking up the phone and just being like, hi.
Hi.
It's true. Like, we FaceTime all the time. And, yeah. You're staying with me right now. And I was trying to explain to Alicia what it was going to be like, you being here. And I was just like, you have the most infectious joy surrounding you at all times. That it's just going to be, it's going to be a walk in the park. There might be makeup on everywhere, yeah. But it's going to be a walk in the park.
Hair and makeup and clothes everywhere.
Everywhere. What does transitioning fully mean to you?
Showing what's on the inside. And letting that reflect on the outside.
How do you feel when anybody asks you about what's...
Wait, rewind.
Go ahead.
You asked me what transitioning means for me.
Yeah.
I get this question so much by just people and followers and fans asking about my transition and how far I'm going to go. And what else am I going to do?
Leading to one question.
Yes, leading to what else am I going to do?
What's between your legs?
When people think of transition, even that.
Right.
And... when people think of transition in the transgender world, too, it's like, are you done? Are you still going? Like, are you going to get physical work? I feel like a lot of it comes in the trans community. It's like physical work, your transition. Like, are you going to get surgeries? Are you going to get implants? Like, when are you going to have that surgical reconstruction surgery and all of that? And for me, that word doesn't – I don't ring a bell for any of those causes. I don't think transition from – it's not anything physical. Transition, everyone is transitioning in life at all times at different paces. And for me, transitioning is just discovering what's on the inside and letting that reflect on the outside.
And reflect on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about the outside for a second. I mean, okay. You've had a little bit of work done. You've had your lips done.
I mean.
She's got her lips juiced for the gods, honey.
Juiced, honey.
Juiced. What else do you want to get done?
I think a boob job.
You want a boob job? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not asking you to commit to anything and sign any papers right now. I mean...
A boob job. A lot of people ask me about down there, like, if I've had the surgery or not. And I think that if I ever answered that, whether it's a yes or a no, and maybe, and have I gotten it done, I feel like it kind of just takes away from everything and me helping other people.
Yeah. It's not even about that.
But I think about that, too. But also, even, you know... the surgery, whatever, I feel like some people need to know that, like, sometimes you don't even need that just to understand the person that you are, you
100%.
Know? But that being said,
for the people that, like, do need that, like, power to you.
If you feel
like a woman and you want to get it cut mm-hmm. off, like, 100% power.
Yes, if that's what's going to help you live, like, do it.
100%.
But understand that
everybody is an individual.
Yes.
And everybody has their own fucking story.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not asking, you know, two straight dudes what's going on with their dicks. Why the fuck is that the first thing that I have to ask a trans girl? Like, oh, yeah. Do you have it or not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's disgusting, dude.
Exactly.
Everybody needs to stop fucking focusing on what is between your legs. Next question is, though, Do you feel fetishized? Do you feel fetished in the world because of who you are and, you know, what you have?
Yes, and that's something that has made dating difficult because I'm like sometimes to a guy a walking fantasy.
Right.
And I'm very blessed and I'm happy that to society and in the real world of living, I am passable. And that's just me being confident and I know where I stand. And with that comes with its pros and its cons of dating someone, talking to someone. I have stopped telling people right off the back that, you know, I'm transgender. Because as soon as I tell someone, like, I'm transgender and this is not who I always was, they immediately put me into the sexual category, you know, that they either want to have sex with me, experience it, whatever. And they don't get to understand my personality first.
Where are you meeting people these days? Like, what does your dating life look like? Are you online dating? Are you...
Is she on eHarmony?
Is she on eHarmony?
It's everything.
She's on Raya.
Yeah.
She's on Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
She just got her driver's license changed.
Yeah, that's
to female.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Passport too?
No, not yet.
Bitch.
I
what are you waiting for?
I don't know. A letter from Sienna.
A letter from Sienna?
Dating is like a girl. I get approached by guys. They want my number, whatever. And I will say no because I know where it's going to lead.
You'll say no?
I will say no.
Do you feel like you're ready for love? Do you feel like your heart's ready for love?
Right now, no. There's too many things going on in my life that I want to focus on.
I hear that.
I know. Amen.
What does the future look like for La Demi in terms of love? What do you want out of love?
I want to take everything I've grown with and the love that I've received, and I want to share it with the world. I want everyone to kind of unite together because it's still so much unity that we need. And whether I am with someone, whether I marry someone, whether whatever the situation is, I want to love everything and everyone.
Right.
I don't want to be selfish with it.
Okay.
Basically.
What does being a woman mean to you?
I almost started crying. I don't know. I'm crying. It's life for me. It's something that, like, I always wanted to be, but was so scared and didn't know where I belonged. So now I think it's just life, and it's something I need to share with everyone because it's my happiness. I need a napkin. My makeup is too good to mess up.
I'll get you one.
Fuck you, bitch.
Trying to get me all emotional on a Monday morning.
No. I feel like that question can't be answered yet. I mean, I'm still so young and growing up and realizing things.
Let me rephrase it then. What does femininity? Why can't I say that word? What does being feminine mean to you?
A way of life for me.
Yeah.
I never, like, overlook it or anything. I just know I feel it, I breathe it, I sleep it. It's something I used to be so concerned about having, and now it's fluid in my life.
What do you think of the word fluid?
I think of it like what I said and what I wrote about myself a long time ago. It's a virus. Everything to do with love, gender, the world, it's just, it's a virus, and everyone takes a virus differently. Some people get sicker, some people get braver, some people can cope with it, and some people can't. So I think of all of that as just like a virus. Love is a virus.
Love is a virus.
Mm-hmm.
That was my next question. What is love in one sentence or word?
It's a virus.
Love is a virus. Are you willing to die for this virus?
Are you?
What does loving yourself look like? What does it mean?
I don't think I've discovered that yet. Growing up, it was very hard to love myself. So I think I'm still every day finding that. And I know it sounds selfish, but I feed off of people and their love that they give off. And as long as I see a smile and I feel like I'm doing something right, and that's my love.
I love you.
I love you more.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having
me. I'm so happy you're in my life.
So happy you're in mine.
Like, you bring so much love to my life.
And that's how it should be.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to today's episode of The Love Bomb. You know, as I continue to record all of these and listen to them back, I just realize how many incredible people I have in my life and how each one is so important to the story and has taught me and continues to teach me something totally different.
Cherish the people around you. That's it. Follow me on Instagram at Nico Tortorella. Follow Demi. It's at It's La Demi, ItsLaDemi. And keep on listening to the Love Bomb. Peace. Nico. 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 Nico.